On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
One guy who's not going to do a lot of running at this point of his career, but it's kind of the opposite of how the team's building what we're talking about, is Joey Gallo, who homered again. The blown highlight of the Wednesday afternoon game in San Fran was the 30-year-old smashing his third home run. I didn't even think he'd be in the lineup, by the way. He took a pitch up off the wrist hand late in the game on Tuesday night, and I was quite sure with a day game the following day, you sit him out and let him, you know, get over the bruise or whatever he was dealing with. But he was in the lineup and he went deep. So that's three home runs now in about 35, maybe 40 at bats for him. Looking it up now, 39 ABs, 7 for 39 on the year, hitting about 180. So this is kind of what Joey Gallo is, people. Here's the experience. He's hitting 180. Crazily, he's not going to hit a lot higher than that, believe it or not. He's getting on base at about a 320 clip, and his OPS is over 800 because he's driving the baseball. But I bring him up because, you know, it's a tiny sample, way too early to start looking at paces, to be frank. But he is on pace for 40 home runs. And you know, you go back to like some of the times that they've tried to do whatever this is, where they bring in a masher, a guy that has power. They hope they can have him hit a bunch of home runs so they can flip him for something on a one-year friendly contract for a team. Nelson Cruz or some of the other examples. And they didn't get off to particularly good starts. Gallo has. Again, he's hitting 179, but my point is the whole point of him is to hit home runs. So if he could hit 15, 18, 20 home runs, you know, going into the All-Star break or the deadline or whatever it is, like that's now a tradable commodity. So he was either going to start the year in a way where he was hitting the ball out of the park or he wasn't. And after a terrible spring where he had a 100 average and very little power shown, he is hitting the ball over the fence, which is all you can ask for.
Yeah, I mean, he started slow in Cincinnati, and really over the last week, he hit his first home run on April 3rd. The last week, he's really put together good at-bats, whether it's doubles in the gap or obviously hitting the ball out of the yard. And I think the other thing, too, if you're talking about trade value, is I think he's played a really good defensive first base. He's helped guys out a lot. So I think it's going to be interesting to see, because if he keeps up this pace, I think a team would be willing to bring in a Joey Gallo, because I don't know how much of the outfield he's going to play for the Nationals, but you know, theoretically, you get to the deadline and you got a team that says they want a guy coming off the bench that's got a lot of power, or they want a guy that they can hit lower on in the order that they can play in the corner outfields, and they know they're going to get good defense or play him at first base. I think with some of his versatility defensively and just anytime he's at the plate, he could go yard, and not just off of righties. I think he's looked pretty good against lefties so far this year as well, at least over the last week. So it'll be interesting to see. It's still early, but it's always nice to see Joey Gallo mashing the baseball, because that thing, whenever he makes contact, it just feels like it's going to go a mile.
Quick shout out. One other National I wanted to call attention to is Luis Garcia, who's 10 for his first 31 at the plate, hitting over 320 to start the year. His OPS is over 825. Again, very, very early, but I've beat up on him a bunch on this pod. We've talked a lot about being ready to move on. He's getting one last crack at this situation. And look, if he was like 3 for 30 right now, maybe when you bring Nick Senzel back up, you kick Lipscomb over to second and Luis Garcia is out of the org, or you're to the bench, or you're figuring something else out. But he's hit so well that he's not moving off of second. We can get into the Senzel quandary here in a moment. But with his back against the wall and the team quite literally telling him, words verbally or otherwise, like it's now or it's never, good for him to start the way that he has.
Yeah, he has been fantastic. I think the at-bats he's put together, going the other way, hitting the ball gap to gap. I think when he's not trying to do too much, you see that natural ability. And again, why it's so frustrating at times that he can't be more consistent, because you see his bat-to-ball skills. You see how talented he can be. And so it's just about consistency with him. It's great that he's gotten off to a good start, but we've seen stretches like this from him before. We're going to have to see this continue on a day-in, day-out basis, and consistent approaches day-in, day-out, and consistent defense as well. To me, it's never been an ability thing with Luis Garcia. It's been in his head, whether it was focusing, whether it was not taking the job seriously enough. So he's been good to start. Love to see it, and he's taking advantage of his opportunity. He's going to have to keep doing that, though, because there's still dudes knocking at the door. One of them's over at third base in Trey Lipscomb, so we'll see, but good start for Louie.
Yeah, definitely. All right, before we dabble down to the minor leagues, Nick Senzel is in the minors rehabbing right now. He is 4-for-5 at the plate over two games, just a calm 800 average over the couple of days. He looks like he could be ready very soon. Broke a bone in his hand. They said it wouldn't be long before he was able to play again, and that's certainly been the case now for the 28-year-old who they signed to be the third baseman. I'm really curious to see what happens here, and this is something maybe we can put a pin in to talk a lot more about, because I think it's a much longer conversation. Maybe on our next pod early next week, as he's getting ready to come off the injured list. But what do you do? I mean, Senzel got hurt right before opening day. He is going to get a crack again at the big league roster. You're going to call him back up and presumably start him at third. It's not like Trey Lipscomb has destroyed the big leagues. He's hitting about 230. However, he's been plenty good enough to stay and looks like he belongs. You know, if anything, I would say defensively, where he's settled in a little more, and over the last few days, the throws have been much more consistent. But for a gold glover in the minors last year, Toby, you know, that's kind of been a little bit more of a wild card early on in that first homestand. He was throwing the ball all over the place. But do you send him down to AAA, no harm, no foul, and just say, all right, thanks for filling in, and bring Senzel back up for a short time? Senzel's such a placeholding seat warmer, that would be frustrating to me, the way Lipscomb has shown that he has good at bats. And he came up with the big sack fly going the opposite way yesterday. He just looks like a big leaguer already. Something that I think is going to be really, really captivating, and it's going to tell us a lot about the way they view the early part of this season here in the coming days.
Yeah, it's a tough decision. I mean, this is what we spent extensive time talking about when they were making the initial opening day roster, and they made their decision, but they were able to kind of get the best of both worlds and get to see Trey Lipscomb early on because of the injury. Now you're kind of in this quandary where I wonder if they thought the injury might last a little bit longer, if they would have just kind of gone with another option, or if they were just going to give Lipscomb this chance here either way. But I don't know what you do. I mean, it seems like with Nunez, you're going to keep him around because that was an option. And Luis Garcia, like you said, has played well enough that you're not going to move on from him. So I have no idea. I think maybe it's just as simple as you swap spots with Senzel and with Trey Lipscomb. But it's kind of tough when it's not like Trey has been fantastic, but he also hasn't been horrible. And I think it's one of those things where if you want to freak out because he had two throwing errors, go ahead, be my guest. But it's also a thing where he looked uncomfortable. It just looked like he was still kind of getting in. Now he's kind of settled in. He looks like he's more of the guy that, you know, you heard a lot about defensively. And it's still, you know, work in progress at the plate. But it's also not like Nick Senzel is going to come up and hit 320 and 40 bombs. So it's just kind of tough.
Yeah, he's also, as we talked about, he's also stolen, talking about Lipscomb now, four bases, which is a big part of their identity, and it's something he can do and will do on the base paths. There's also such a thing, and this will just sound like I'm being a homer for Lipscomb, but I think if you've watched him, you'd agree with me probably. Like, I feel good when he's at the plate. It's a lot of loud contact. You know, it's a lot of hard contact. It's not like he's overmatched. He's rarely having bad at-bats where he's swinging over pitches that he shouldn't in the other batter's box or something. Like right now, this moment, if the bases are loaded and the game's on the line and he's coming to the plate, despite the fact that he's hitting 230, I feel pretty good about that. Like he barrels a lot of baseballs. And so that having been said, you know, if you dive into some of the early season advanced numbers, that they're not great in terms of chase percentage, sweet spot, hard hit, barrel, some of those things. It's probably too early to start looking a whole lot into all of those advanced analytics. But my guess is they'll probably put him at Rochester with James Wood. You know, they'll send him down, and then they'll bring Senzel back up. Some people will moan about it, but they are at a point right now where, you know, if they don't have to, I don't think they're going to burn service time necessarily.